Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
It'll be more fun when they start to win some games, guys. Everybody exhale this hour, and we'll just answer some questions.
When we're not arguing about Dylan F. and Gibbons.
Minutia. This hour brought to you by our friends Birch Orthodontics. Yay, Heather. Dr. Birch.
Hey, Dr. Birch.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, seems like I say this a lot, but because it's true, got an appointment, I think, next week for Clark.
I miss the appointments.
I don't miss the appointments. I wish I didn't have them. I love Dr. Birch and her staff and the excellence of their work. I don't miss the appointments.
Can I start taking the boys?
Yeah, please. Swing on by because they're always really early. I know you won't.
No, I'm not doing that.
Ira, swing on by, right where I live. I'll throw the boys outside. Get in there. Go see Dr. Birch. You guys are going to have a powwow.
Then I can have my football talk with Dr. Birch in the lobby. It's birchorthodox.com is the website. If you or your kids or anybody in your family, neighbors, stray kids in the street. If you see a kid walking down the street with bad teeth, throw them in the car. Bring them to Birch Orthodontics. She'll give them a free consultation and the best orthodontic work
in the
business.
We're not advocating if you're driving down a neighborhood street, you see a kid with bad teeth, to just throw them in your car.
I mean, acknowledge that they have bad teeth. Hey, kid, look at your messed up grill. Get in this car.
Yeah.
Maybe ask their parents for permission.
Right. Don't just grab them and throw them. No. Okay, good.
And but anyway,
Birch will look at whoever you bring in.
Yes, I mean, she's got a passion for snaggletooth kids
and snaggletooth people in general.
Yes,
if you walk past the homeless by I-10, if I don't shove them in the car, hey, look, Dr. Birch, this guy's struggling a little bit. Something. We got to get a little help here.
But birchorthodox.com is the website, and they have free consultations, payment plans, best customer service, best dental orthodontic work you can get. You know, speaking of just to tell you, when you're talking about throwing a kid in the car, I've got a story along those ways.
Great.
So when I was like 10 years old, this is just the difference in times. When I was like 10 years old, me and my buddy Greg were walking in North Miami, and a couple came up in a car, just pulled up in their car, and asked us if we wanted a job. And we're like, yeah, we'd like a job.
Yeah, I'd like money.
So we got in their car with them, and they took us to apartment complexes to put flyers in doors for like the Chinese restaurants.
Mm.
And they paid us each like $5 an hour cash, but we literally just got in their car and went to these jobs.
That's not good.
No.
Hey, you made money, though. Let that be a lesson, kids. If somebody invites you into their car, it's going to end up pretty well, and you're going to be able to make more money.
It worked out all right for me.
Never see the movie Mystic River, and you'll be fine. Just jump right in that car.
Well, the other two kids were fine.
Yeah. Hopefully you win the roulette game, and it'll be all right. All right, Chris wants to know, does FSU keep most of their assistants? I think if they stay another year, their stock would only rise and earn more money. What segment are you most disappointed in from their on-field performances? I think those are kind of two different conversations. I can be disappointed in a segment and still think that they're decently coached, or that the coach himself is a good coach. It's just we didn't see it play out this year. It's a little convoluted, but I obviously linebacker play for the most part was not where it needs to be at Florida State. Although we did see improvement as the course of the season went on, without question. So I don't want to pretend like it didn't get better.
Definitely marked improvement from last year, for sure.
Yeah, but they got to get better. They got to get deeper, and they got to get more talented. Some of that is that the room is not exactly steeped in talent. Yeah. So, I don't want to
feel like Deloach can play, which is something you didn't know last year.
Lundy's limited in that he's a run stopper, and he's great with that, but you don't want him in pass coverage. So you got to have a more diverse group in that linebacking room. That's an area that I've been concerned with, especially if I marry it with some recruiting concerns.
Well, but that's how you evaluate it. It's the play hasn't been great, but part of it is because of what they've got to work with. But part of your job as a linebackers coach is to bring in better players.
Yeah.
So that's got to be part of the evaluation process. I think this is a big class for Chris Martin. Not that they need big numbers at linebacker, but it would be big for him to bring in and they're involved with a couple of big-time linebackers. You need to get them.
And I think we assume they're all staying. He's not going to get rid. He's not going to let go of any of these.
I think
anybody.
They're striving for continuity, for obvious reasons. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Who's
the wide receiver hasn't been good, but I don't know that you're getting rid of a Florida State guy. We'll see. But
in
how the recruiting goes
and what the relationship is,
but also recruiting
scenes.
Matters too, and relationships that position coaches have with guys that are in this class. But then I think we all agree that Papuchis is better Norvell is certainly better at special teams than what we saw this year. But
yeah, and Papuchis did a good job with the ends. It's just very, very frustrating to watch. Whatever they're doing it wrong on special teams.
Right.
So however they've got to fix that.
Yeah.
But that's what self-scouting's about, and every good coaching staff will go back at the end of a year and say, okay, you know, what did we do well? What did we do poorly? How do we improve this?
I know punt returning was the biggest issue because you probably lost games because you couldn't catch punts, but the kick returning was a bad look too.
It would have been bad on any other team, but because of punt returning being so bad,
it kind of got lost in the shuffle. They had one return to the 40 all season, and they gave up some points. They got to return a lot of kicks, and it got to the point there at the end of the Florida game where Corbin's one return went to the 11 or something. And by the way, Corbin didn't look like himself at all the last three weeks.
No, he didn't. No.
He didn't look like he had the burst he had.
Not at all.
So why is he out there returning kicks? That's a spot where you need somebody that can hit a hole, and he clearly wasn't himself. But then after that, they're just like, look, we're just fair catching every kick, which they probably, in hindsight, probably should have started doing
sooner.
But they said all along they didn't want to do
it. And I like that. Yeah. I like that approach. I do like the approach of
like,
we're not just going
to
give up.
The mentality of wanting to return kicks, but if you don't have the personnel or you're not good at it.
Well, and then the one of the biggest plays of the game was the crazy hold on the kick return that got you starting. That drive started at like the 8. And that ended up being a 62-yard drive. So if you do the math and start at the 25, well, you're at the 13-yard line at that point. Yeah. You're at least getting points, but you started at the 8.
Yeah, that embrace from Jackson West.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It was.
You like that?
It was an embrace.
David writes, hey, guys, isn't this the first year since 2016 that FSU even came close to meeting their preseason win prediction? I don't know what it was in 2017, but I think the predictions were 8-9 wins in 18, 7-8 in 19, 5-6 last year.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Fair point. Yeah.
Yeah, they were right there. They were 6-6.
You don't lose to Jacksonville State, you go 6-6.
Yeah, you're 6-6. Yeah, they were 6-6 team.
And we haven't talked about the Florida game. Obviously, it was disappointing, but it's kind of weird that we haven't really talked about it at all. But
by this point of the week,
But I also think that this is the first year since 2013, I think, where you'd say this team got better from year to year. You know, it didn't get better from 13 to 14. Didn't get better 14. You know, like none of those years.
Right.
Maybe Willie's second year was better than the first year.
I think 18 to 19.
Yeah, Willie's second year was better than his first year. But it also, I think it had a lot to do with bringing Kendall Briles in. The offense got a lot better. But this is, you know, from a program standpoint, this was the second time, I guess, in the last 7 or 8 years.
Eric, one of our favorites, writes, for those familiar with Occam's razor, in a situation with multiple possibilities, the simplest explanation tends to be the correct one. Is it possible that the best solution to our punt returning woes is simply to recruit a kid with the last name Reed? I only bring this up because it worked pretty well with the last two who shared that name.
But it has
to
be
keep things simple.
It has to be spelled a certain way now.
You're R-E-I-D.
It can't be Burt Reed.
No.
R-E-I-D. That's two E's. You got to go R-E-I-D. There's got to be a high school kid out there with that last name.
Who was the Bills guy, Reed? It was Jordan Reed? What was that guy's name? No, what was
Andre Reed.
Andre Reed.
That was the E-D, too.
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen, for keeping it rock-ass solid all season long. Well, thank you, Eric, and thanks for listening to what we do and putting up with our nonsense.
And I've always thought the next big quarterback they should get has to be a W.
Yeah. Also, it should be noted to Eric's point here, whether it's a Reed or not, he just named two really good players who were really good at that thing.
Yeah.
Just getting better players increases the pool of people to choose from to return punts.
That helps.
You got to improve the roster so that you have a better opportunity
to stumble across a guy who
might be named Reed.
Guys on kick coverage that run really fast down the field would
that
be nice.
Kick coverage.
And guys that block well on kick return, all that stuff is helped by better players.
Guys, the offseason's here, and that means it's time to pull out all the stops to improve this roster. Cue the Magic Money Gym bags, the honey fried chicken, and the golden gummies. Love our team and the way we fought this year, but we need some serious roster improvements if we're going to take the next step. Alan, that's not a question, that's an observation, but we would agree with you. Right. They're going to have to get better. That is something we said since before the start of the season. I was concerned about the roster, talked about it. Lots of people did. It wasn't just me. You just looked at the team and you thought, they don't look as physical or as big as they need to be, especially in certain position groups where you get really nervous. I want to say this, though. When I watch, let's say, even Auburn, who nearly knocked off Alabama, should have knocked off Alabama, choked it away.
Going to need you to stay in bounds there, guy.
Yep,
just stay in bounds.
Well, Tank Bigsby gets thrown out of bounds.
What's
like,
funny
oh,
is we were listening
game.
To the Alabama radio broadcast on the way home from Gainesville, and they didn't mention it at all as like a huge screw-up. They're like, oh, he's trying to get the first down. He's out of bounds. And the guy, Eli Gold's not great about getting time and score anyway. But I'm like, they don't have a timeout. Like, they don't. I don't think Alabama has a timeout.
Yeah, that
right
was
now.
Insane. They get,
it, and they didn't mention at all. Like, what a huge break.
Apparently on TV it was exact opposite. Apparently they kept harping on TV.
Oh, that's all they really?
And people were like, all right, leave this kid alone, because they were just killing this kid.
Oh, did they have the camera right in his face when they scored the touchdown?
But on radio, they didn't bring it up.
They didn't bring it up.
I will say this. I was sitting getting to go food, and I watched the entire fourth quarter at this establishment. And when he ran out of bounds, this stranger next to me, I went, "Oh, you dumb son of a!" And I was like, "That's it. That's how Alabama wins this game. That you just, I mean, it. The bar knew it. The whole bar was like, oh, you just did that." Yeah. I felt so bad for him because you're never going to live that down. I mean, they actually went through and did the math. I was trying to do it instantly. I was like, "Wait a minute. Well, no timeouts." They gave Alabama, in essence, an extra 48 seconds, which they had to have.
They scored the game-tying touchdown like 20 seconds, right?
It was unreal and brutal. Anyhow, the point I was going to make was this. Looking at Auburn, a five-loss team, not a good football team this year, had their moments. But just player for player, looking at that average-ass team, they're all a lot bigger and thicker and more athletic than Florida State's players. And I was just thinking about, man, it's low-level SEC teams and some other conferences as well where I see players that look demonstrably different than our players. That has got to change.
Yeah.
I know we're not
– And to explain for people that maybe aren't paying attention to the roster management over the course of years, you're not criticizing, like, the strength staff.
No.
This is – what's happened to Florida State when you change coaches three times.
And there's just decimation.
You're constantly rebuilding your roster, playing younger guys, and so you haven't built that program the way you need to.
Really is. There's an appreciable difference every time I look. I thought there was an appreciable difference when I looked at Florida. Just looking at the Gators up close and personal early in that game, I'm like, man, we don't look like that. Their offensive line in general looked way bigger and way stronger and was a lot better.
Even with the great Dylan Gibbons out there for the Noles.
So I just heard that LSU is, this is old. He was saying, looking at Brian Kelly. Yeah,
well, did. I heard that too. They actually maybe
they locked it in. Locked it in. You gents kept it real again this year. This is from Marlon, who came to visit us up at the CP.
Oh, that's
this
right. Year. Yeah, Marlon.
He endured coming to the game with all the Miami
fans. With all the
fans.
Hurricane
that's
fans.
Right. Well, he had a happy ride back.
Probably
with
a fun ride back,
Let's see. JSU lost highest point, meeting Jeff, Corey, Aswan, and Tom at the CP before we spanked the U's ass. Next year, I have to two fingers my eyes, two fingers at Coach Norvell, because Corey is right there. There's no reason why FSU shouldn't win 9 games in these. Oh, he's telling.
I hope I didn't say that.
You're going to bring.
What?
No, I think he's saying you're going to inspire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to give him questions every week that he can just go on 7-minute soliloquies. Change we're probably working out ahead season. Of time what I should ask him, what he wants me to ask him.
Give me your list, that writes Todd, of minimum players needed from the portal to keep the current momentum going, as well as what's needed for 7-plus wins.
Well, I mean, 10? Right?
Ballpark, I guess. Yeah, man. It's a good round number.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You like round numbers?
Sure, I do.
Actually very difficult to figure out a specific number, but yes, around that. I mean, because if we figure 3 or 4 linemen on each side, maybe, 2 or 3 linemen on each side, right? Certainly on
trouble.
The defensive side, at least, you're gonna quickly get to 10.
Yeah, 3 D linemen.
Three
O linemen, a receiver.
Well, maybe more than one receiver.
A linebacker.
Maybe 2 linebackers.
A Thorpe Award finalist. Yeah.
I mean, it's just saying, it's easy to those numbers add up pretty quickly.
I mean, it could get to 12. I mean, I feel like they had about that many this year, and they're gonna replenish it again. Sure.
Yeah, this is a repeatable – there's 3 in a row that are all similar questions, so we'll break here, and I'll go to Twitter here in a second. Seminole Headlines, 93.3, Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Yeah, I should probably be ready when the voice guys talk.
Yeah, that was weird. Well, you've been doing this for a while.
I was trying to read questions and make sure I got to people who had something – interesting to ask, or something that we could espouse and, you know, prattle on about. Can we offer a GA spot to Mackenzie Milton, and is there a way to retain Randy Shannon?
I mean, both are possibilities. You can only have a limited number of GAs on each side of the ball. I think it's 2 on offense, 2 on defense, I think. And so if they have an opening, then maybe. But, yeah, there's also – and then as far as the analyst position, it's really up to Randy Shannon if he wants to pursue another job. This year he could come to FSU for cheap because UCF was still paying him as defensive coordinator, but I think he only had 1 more year on his contract. So he may want to go get a position coaching job or a coordinator job, and if that happens, then he'll be leaving.
Kevin writes, it was discussed before that a five-win team...
Unless somehow he got added to this staff. But anyway, I'm sorry.
There you go. It was discussed before that a five-win team could sneak into a bowl, but as soon as the UF game was over, that was a wrap. Was it already determined that mathematically it wasn't going to happen? Thanks. Love listening to you guys.
Yeah, there were more than enough teams for the bowls. Mm-hmm. There's, what was it, 40 bowls, 41 bowls, something like that. So you had to have 80 teams and 6 wins.
Did they get 86 teams?
And then even if they didn't, then it becomes like, based on those 5-win teams, it goes by your APR, and Florida State's APR, thanks to Jimbo, is pretty low, your annual academic progress rate. And so they would have been one of the last ones.
So because they lost that game at 3 o'clock, or, well, no, that last quarter took an hour and a half. So they lost that game at 4:30, but all the 6-6 teams weren't decided by then. But Norvell had clearly been told.
Yeah.
And also been told clearly, like, 5-7, you're not getting in at 5-7. Yeah, they need to win this game.
Yeah, and I think when they were looking at – apparently there was, like, 10 spots left going into that weekend, and they knew there was going to be at least 4 or 5 automatically filled, and it was just a matter of who else. So
Lee writes, what contributors do you think are most likely to transfer out of FSU this offseason, and why did you all respond Travis J?
I mean, I'm telling you, like, we wouldn't be stunned if he left. I hope they go to him. I hope they've already gone to him and said, buddy, you're switching sides of the ball. We're going to give you another chance to salvage what could be a very nice career here, but it's not working out on defense. We need you to be on the other side of the ball and see if you can be a receiver.
It would be a shame if he leaves and there was – I mean, I'm not saying it's anybody's fault, but it would be a shame that they never were able to get what I think is inside of there. I mean, he's an athlete. He's a freakish athlete. It's a shame that it hasn't worked out.
Yeah, if I had to put money on it, I think it's going to be what Corey said. I think they are going to try to get him to switch to the other side of the ball, and then it's up to him whether or not he wants to do that and how that goes. But switching schools to go play DB, I don't think is going to be the answer for him. I think he needs to switch to offense.
Drew writes, I won't be able to hear your answer due to my work schedule, but what if FSU sent all 11 instead of having an actual returner? I mean, they weren't going to catch it anyhow. They could try to block a few.
Yeah. That's what
you always have numbers.
My dad used to always get so mad at that. Like when Mickey, I guess Mickey was in charge of special teams during the dynasty. When they was like 4th and 2, he wouldn't commit to returning. He'd have his defense out there, but he would never put anybody back.
Right.
And even when it became obvious they were going to punt, they would let the ball land and just roll and
your
stop.
Dad's like, this
and
then is
the
insane.
It's like you're letting time run off the clock. They're just standing there. You just have somebody back there to catch it. But yeah, if you're not going to catch it, back then Florida State, I don't think you remember, they had punt returners that could make plays and do good things.
A few of them here and there.
So hopefully that will happen. But yes, they don't really get close to
Mike. Mike wanted to know if Napier has carts for his injured players that he can bring with him to Florida. That was the strangest thing. I mean, watching those two guys carry
a kid who was clearly really injured.
Yeah, and huge. And, like, those two guys were struggling.
Did Mullen take the carts with them, or did they just not want to do it? They were locked up for Thanksgiving, the holiday?
As bad as the broadcast was, they at least acknowledged that was crazy. They did point that out. They're like, what is going on
here? I'm sure RG3 can relate. Like,
what are we doing here? Why are those two poor guys carrying this dude?
Carrying him off like he's in the middle of a combat zone. Like, get a cart out. They'll clearly stop the game for anything. Stop the game and get a cart out there.
If Brent Venables takes the Oklahoma job, will we get an hour number two from Corey?
Absolutely. You know what? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Screw that guy.
Yeah.
He's a little baby
Take
that doesn't want to be a
road,
head coach.
Buddy. Let's go.
I mean, there's a chance that happens, right? The way the way that Clemson's beat guys are tweeting about the Venables time and tenure, I think there's at least a little smoke there that might be what that might be the job he would go back to Oklahoma or leave Clemson for. But yeah, I'll do an hour number two for that. Absolutely.
And he's probably sitting there going, man, if I got to play defense with DJ at quarterback next year.
Yeah, screw this.
We go over to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I bet Mickey could have a nice conversation with him. Oh, is DJ not good enough for you? Let me tell you about some of the quarterbacks that I had as a DC.
BJ writes, is FSU done as a tier one program? They were the only major job opening 2 years ago and got Norvell. Today just makes it clear that these guys are playing a different game.
No, it's a fair question.
This is a new reality. Like, this never happened. I mean, when Jimbo went to Texas A&M, the big shock was people don't leave Power 5 jobs this level to go on lateral moves. Well, now apparently they do because we're just writing checks for anything.
I said it before that nobody has voluntarily left Oklahoma to go coach another major program since 1946.
Well, and I can promise you nobody's ever left Notre Dame.
To do that.
Never.
And so it is that we see now people just rolling out, taking jobs. Listen, the money is so exorbitant now. And again, it is something where we think you're going to have to get a hold of this because the sport now is about these coaches and not about the players in the games. And again, we're going into championship weekend, we're not talking at all about championship weekend.
But what's twisted about it is it's really about those coaches' ability to build a program to get players. Because if you look around college football, when teams lose their quarterback, the coach doesn't look so great anymore. Dabo doesn't look so great anymore. Dan Mullen didn't look so great anymore once he lost the tight end, the receiver, and the quarterback. So ultimately, it is about getting those players, because it came up this week when we were saying that Florida has a better roster than Florida State.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So even if you're better coached, you have to be much better coached to overcome that. So, but really what you're paying Brian Kelly or some of those guys for is to build a program that can recruit. I mean, Lincoln Riley is going to lock up all those players out in California.
Yeah,
that's why they're hiring him. But it's twisted because it's really about the players, and you're just paying the guys who go get the players.
Well, and that's why the players said, what about us?
Right.
And that's how we got to the place we're at now.
Well, that's why they can.
Why NIL free, has
one year, and it's also 1 year free agency. You're free agent every year.
Well, it's also, yeah, and this is, again, probably not a great thing for college football. I'm not talking about players shouldn't be able to get paid or shouldn't be able to move. They should. But I am saying that we'd be naive to think that players that are now entering the transfer portal hadn't already been in discussions somehow with somebody before this.
Sure.
So, in essence, you're recruiting other rosters now constantly.
You also have to recruit your own roster to stay. It's just a whole new ballgame. But I will say, to the answer to the question, I don't know what tiers you're talking about. If you're talking about financial tiers, yes, they are not a tier one program. I do think we all believe that Florida State, if this is the right guy, if they make the right hire, can still be a championship program. Sure. We wouldn't be doing this otherwise. We wouldn't be wasting our time yelling at each other about
Bowling Green,
Tulane, about backup linemen from Notre Dame, if we didn't all think deep in our plums that Florida State can get back to a championship caliber program, because it can. But you got to be more like the Rays now, and you're not the Yankees. The Yankees are at other schools.
What specific areas, writes Michael, of need do the coaches have to hit home runs on in the portal in recruiting? A defensive line, linebacker, wide receiver. I'll start there. Offensive line there, too.
Yeah, I'd put defensive line, offensive line, receivers. I know linebackers are concerned, but
I'd say D-line is number one.
D-line is number one. Because, but that's number one.
Yeah, that's, every time. It
as
should
you
be.
Build a team, that in offensive line. The trenches are always number one.
Because it is crazy that Adam Fuller's defense seemed to get better and better as he got better players up front. That changes the whole thing. You don't have to blitz more. If your back end isn't great, it doesn't matter, because if you get rid of the ball quicker.
I might argue that is the sole reason Brian Kelly took the LSU job. You can win a national championship because of the level of defensive tackles, specifically, that you can get at LSU.
Man, I know, though, but golly, he does have to coach it now against Jimbo, Lane, Saban.
Well, like, people have no problems coaching against Jimbo, apparently. he lost again this weekend.
He lost to a lame duck.
Against a lame duck coach. I'm not throwing him in that category.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
My God, I got to coach
him.
Hey,
it's still
him.
A challenge. It's still a tough game. You know it's going to be a tough game. You might win it there at the end.
Mississippi State found a way to beat Jimbo, and so did Ole Miss, and so did LSU.
I wonder where they are, because, again, he's bringing in a great recruiting class.
Colorado kept it awfully close against Jimbo and Texas State. I mean, I'm just saying.
But 4 years in, my man's 8-4. That's not that. Kevin Sumlin was probably close to 8-4.
Has a better record over these 4 years than his 4 years, and has way more wins against ranked teams than Jimbo has.
But the thing with Jimbo is he will load up the roster.
Oh, and if there's no doubt about that.
If he gets a great quarterback, first-round quarterback.
Yeah, like transcendent, generational.
Yeah, he can win a national championship with them. But even if he gets a first-roundish quarterback, they'll put some points up. They'll win some games that they're not winning right now because the quarterback play isn't good enough. That's my thought. He also
abandons the running game.
Absolutely.
Also, with anybody that's not a generational talent, he'll lose a game out of nowhere.
No, I got
for
you.
With that said quarterback.
Yeah, no,
like,
I got
like to Wake.
I think he was, other than the Alabama win, I think that he was 1-4 against the rest of the SEC West, which is not great.
Come on, Jimbo. Come on, Jimbo.
So anyhow, to answer your question, Michael, we think defensive line, we think offensive line, and then, I mean, this is an important offseason. We can't overstate it. The receiver, you got to find somebody. You got to have to find a linebacker. Now, again, this recruiting class is going to be great, it looks like, knock on wood, but not everybody's going to be able to contribute right away, because that's what freshmen.
You do think the receivers will, though.
Possibly.
Probably.
They have a better chance.
But defensive line, I think we all agree, is number one. O-line, probably number two.
On a scale of zero to Richard Simmons entering the stage, the GIF I always use, how would you rate this season? Well, it's not Richard Simmons entering the stage. It's not there. But
zero to that?
Yeah.
That's a I don't know. What is Richard? Is Richard Simmons
that's
a 10? Okay.
All right. He's easily a 10, yeah.
I don't know if we were going 0 to 5.
I mean, I'm going to wait the second half of the season a little more heavy, and I'm going to give it a 6.5.
That's as high as you can go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But that's only because of what the second half of the season was. I mean, if you're looking at totality, I think it's a 5. But I'm going to give it a 6.5 because I'm kind of dismissing a little bit what happened in the first month.
I'm going to ignore the Jacksonville. I'm just going to act like the Jacksonville State game didn't happen.
Really can't.
That's
do that.
Not. I'm not even acting. I'm just act like it didn't happen. And if you take the Jacksonville State game out of it, you give it a 6.5. It's a solid 6.5.
Giant if.
Yeah. I'm taking it out. I don't even remember what y'all are talking
that's
about.
That's actually the only real. I mean, obviously we've well documented the special teams woes.
Sure.
Well documented. Yeah. But I think the most resounding condemnation of what we saw this year was the Jacksonville State game. Period.
Not everything just the last two plays.
And, not just Adam Fuller, defense, but, you know, all of it.
Well, the plans, way they prepared the game
the way
plan.
They, yeah, the way they used
the
quarterback.
They treated it as a scrimmage. Yeah. It was just a buffoonery. That was really, really shameful. And we have not let him off the hook for that. We have brought that up.
Yeah.
But
not anymore because we don't talk about it anymore. It's the last time,
because it didn't happen, right?
It didn't happen. It didn't even happen. This is the 6-16. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us. You might see us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I mean, I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a I probably shouldn't have said that.
Hot beer and cold women.
Whatever you're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's
sure,
all right. But even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
good food.
The most
important part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats
really
that?
Good.
He does. At Horizons
Bar and
Grill.
I didn't know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizons got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And it's and if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the... right off of Thomasville Road and Bannerman up there on the northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Well, this is a tough one, and people have asked about it. We actually just discussed it during the previous break, which is, without a dominant quarterback emerging, how is Corey Clark's Heisman ballot shaping up as we head into championship weekend? And
that's a great question, because I don't know. I don't even know who a finalist is going to be right now. Well, I mean, Jermaine Johnson clearly is one.
Sure.
But I don't know who I go with the other two.
So here, in all likelihood, your finalists, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Matt Corral, Kenny Pickett, and then...
No, I'm not voting for a quarterback.
Well,
so
that's fine.
We're going to have to figure...
You, those are different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kid from Pitt's not winning. That's wasting... It's throwing away a vote.
I agree.
It's like voting for Nader. I'm not doing that.
Kenneth Walker III,
no
chance at this point. The Aiden Hutchinson kid, the defensive end from Michigan.
I think if he has a big game against Iowa, and that's going to be hard because Iowa's offense is electric. It's going to be tough to move those guys out of the way. But if he has a big game, if the linebacker from Alabama has a big game against Georgia, theoretically, if Bryce Young has a big game, because they're going to have to throw it every down because they're out of running backs, maybe.
Also, they won't be able to block Georgia.
Jordan Davis, I guess, although I don't think he's the best even defensive lineman on Georgia's team.
Have any of those people had a Heisman moment, Corey?
That's what I'm hoping I see this weekend. I haven't seen a Heisman moment yet. My Heisman moment is Andrew Parchment, 4th-and-14. So that's my leader in the clubhouse for Heisman moments. So I got to see something better than that.
I don't know how you'll vote. I'm not saying you'll do this, but I guess that Heisman voters, if Bryce Young has a good game and Alabama were to upset Georgia, it's a lock.
I mean,
because
I'm
just so you know,
voting for Alabama guys.
Well, I know it's aggravating, but just so you know, because I just pulled it up, I wanted to find out what they were. He's thrown for nearly 4,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions.
Yeah, it's
not
Alabama,
like
man.
He sucked.
40 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
What did Mac Jones do last year? What did Tua do the year before that? Just what they do.
Did what Joe Burrow did, which was 60 touchdowns.
But he was also, again, he was awesome. I'm not taking anything away from him.
Oh,
he
but
was throwing
the Alabama guys.
He was throwing to incredible wide receivers. Like that, and he had a great coordinator.
I'm just telling you, man.
Mac
Jones was throwing to arguably the greatest receiving corps of all time.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, man. Hey, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know how to judge this anymore. It's really hard. I miss the days where I could vote for the Kansas State quarterback.
Those were your glory days.
When offenses are humming, and I mean they're complete because you've got players everywhere. You can block it up. You've got a balanced running game. You can throw it. Then you see numbers like this. It is staggering how far Florida State's offense has to go.
Yeah.
So here you go. C.J. Stroud has, as of right now, 3,862 yards, 38 touchdowns, and 5 picks. That's what he's done. They're averaging 45 points a game. He's averaging 430 yards a game.
It's a little easier to call plays, I think, when you've got
that
kind of
offense. Oh, yeah. That's why we thought it was a minor miracle that we were moving the ball at all this year. I just gave you Bryce Young's numbers, which are about the same, slightly better.
Neither one of them are leading the country in passing, though. That's the kid from Western Kentucky who has 53 touchdowns in 9 interceptions.
I bet he had a good day against Willie's Owls.
It seems like he lit him up.
Here's an average-ass quarterback in the running for it. Matt Corral at Ole Miss, right? 3,334 yards passing, 20 touchdowns, 4 picks, 600 yards rushing, and 11 touchdowns on the ground.
Two of those guys are SEC guys, and as we all, that's like the Big 12.
Here's your ACC guy.
No, what I'm saying, like, they don't play defense in the SEC. I'm not impressed by any of that.
Pickett at Pitt. 4,066 yards, 40 touchdowns, 7 picks, 225 yards rushing, and 4 touchdowns.
That's great. That's the thing, man. Like when I was picking for the All ACC,
how do you even judge? You can't go by numbers.
Well,
they all put
say,
up crazy
like
ass
picking
numbers.
The All ACC quarterbacks. I mean, Sam Howell ended up being honorable mention.
Yeah,
he was supposed to be the player of the year. But you got Kenny Pickett, the kid of Virginia.
Sam Hartman. Man, there's a good quarterbacks everywhere.
If you're inclined to go for a defensive player like Aiden Hutchinson at Michigan, the defensive end, 51 tackles, 15 of them for a loss, 12 and a half sacks, 8 quarterback hurries, and 2 forced fumbles.
Yeah, and it's the kid at Alabama, the Anderson kid, he might be the best player in the country. So that might be the
it's always been.
But then it's like Georgia has this all-time defense. You want to reward them, but they spread it out so much. So we'll see. Guys, stay tuned.
You probably know this answer. You know how many points Georgia's given up total? Don't answer if you know it.
He told me this on the season? He told me this over
the
weekend.
No, I told you in the second quarter. You know how many they've given up in the second quarter this season?
0.
7.
I was close.
And I was there. I was at that game.
What's sad is I was close.
Yeah, you were.
The total points given up by Georgia in an era of offense,
83
for the year. The next closest defense is Clemson.
Yeah.
180.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, they haven't played a great offense yet. That's coming. This is by far their biggest test, but it's so far through 12 games.
I'm just saying, man, that is unreal. It's an all-time great defense. Yeah.
They did better against AR-15 than Florida State did.
Yeah. Yes, they did. Yeah, he kind of went out of the game. All right, ask another question, Jeff. Let's go.
Any coaching changes you guys predict for the staff? That's from Ashlyn.
Yeah, not really. I guess I because Papuchas did do well with the defensive ends, and I don't know that Norvell blames Papuchas for what went on in special teams. So, because Papuchas has done it well at other places, so.
If he made a change there, then nobody would be shocked.
Right.
If he
right.
kept him, I wouldn't be shocked because they got to get better return.
When
guys.
It comes to assistants, I mean, I guess I'll answer it this way: they're going to be in all likelihood no major changes. So, no new DC, no new OC, no new offensive line.
Which is an interesting topic. Do we think it's only the fringe that hates Dillingham? Because the only reason I bring that up is you talk about those numbers that are taking place in college football,
right?
And then you look at again Jordan Travis, who we think is probably the future of Florida State, and is a bright. Is a talent. He's got 16 touchdowns and 6 interceptions.
Right.
So, I mean, like, you look at their passing numbers versus those types of teams, I understand the frustration, but is it only the crazies that are after Dillingham, or you think it's some rational people, too?
Well, I'm sure there may be a couple of
after
rational
him,
people
like, what?
There.
Think he should be fired?
Definitely people are out there.
Well, there are people that hate Dillingham, and usually they'll say things like, where are the adjustments? You can't fall back to something you can't do. They have a very limited set of things they can do because of the lack of personnel.
But also,
if you can't block it up in pass pro, which they can't be a drop-back passing team because they can't block it up, and Jordan's not there yet. He's getting better, but he's not there yet as just a drop-back passer. Your receivers suck. You don't have a viable tight end. What are you going to commit to? Exactly what they did, which is to run the football. Except, and to limit exposure as best you can.
But I think it's fair to counter and say, you know you can't block that Florida defensive line. So why are you an empty so much?
And because they chose to spread them out because condensed, but you weren't going to run the ball with a condensed, Corey.
Trayshawn Ward had four carries for 30 yards.
They
four
were not going to be able to. I'm saying.
I thought that was lacking, the identity, though.
But when you're lacking personnel.
I think it was against average teams. Yes. When they played the better teams like Clemson.
They
or
couldn't
Florida,
do
they
it.
Just, they
but I think, and I'm not down on Dillingham, like the sense that he's out.
Let me say this. When they decide, instead of spreading them out, right, and then just to commit all into the run against the better teams, against the stout defensive lines with real linebackers and people that aren't afraid of your receivers, so they'll just play man and walk the safeties up, you can't run. So what ends up happening is the fans go, why are we running in the middle of the line? Well, now you've chosen this path because you know you can't throw it and drop back. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't is my point. You're going to run, you're going to stall, you're going to punt. You're going to shorten the game, you're going to give yourself a chance if your defense keeps you in it. If you spread it out like they did and you don't have success, then people will say, why'd you go away from the run? Well, I mean, you have to commit to something.
Right.
And against the better defenses, they had no answers is my point.
Well,
they
I
have
guess,
no answers.
Sure, but my counter to that, like Clemson, it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. You didn't have enough players. This Florida defense could be run on by many teams, and you didn't really give yourself a chance.
But don't you think that Florida was run on in games they didn't really want to be there?
Right.
I mean, I think
they
that they
didn't. But they, my point is you didn't give them a chance to see if they wanted to defend the run. I mean, again, Corbin had six carries, and Corbin wasn't
himself.
No, I know.
I think they ran it early and said, man, this
isn't going to work. And the only two times they ran it back-to-back the whole game where they gave it to a running back two times in a row was when Milton was the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. You had to.
Which wasn't going to work either.
But with Jordan Travis back there, you know, I thought that is a fair complaint is, like, Florida got gashed by LSU. They got gashed by Sanford.
Well,
they
hold
got
on a second.
Missouri kid ran for 140 yards.
So, I guess LSU's offensive line is a little bit better than Florida State's offensive
line. It is.
But then you –
But also, hold on. You don't think that Florida got gashed by Samford because there was some sort of, like, physical
strategic
thing? No, it was just they didn't want to play. They didn't care to be there. That's the only way you explain that, period.
Sure. But we're assuming.
They wanted to play this game.
That's the thing, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't sit there and say that Trayshawn Ward getting four carries in that game.
I can say when you're down 24-7, you're not going to run the ball.
But you weren't down 24-7 until the fourth quarter.
But three of the possessions in the second, in the first half, you didn't have Jordan Travis.
You didn't have Jordan Travis. Listen, when they did try to run early, they got stuffed. It's not so simple as to say this isn't working, do this other thing. You can't do that. They don't block at all against good defenses, against real good defenses, against teams that physically can dominate the line. They can't move them.
I guess that's where I am on it is I can't tell you for certain that Kenny Dillingham's a great offensive coordinator.
Of course.
But I also don't think you can judge him based on what we've seen so far because of what they're working with.
Well, and also I would make the counter argument that they got more out of what they had than most people would have. They schemed a ton of one-on-ones. That's all you could do. If I'm an OC and I scheme a one-on-one, I've done my job. If you don't make the play, we got to get better players.
Sure.
I've got to scheme one-on-ones. I got to find a way to do that. Well, they scheme one-on-ones constantly.
I think I'm being the voice of the people, maybe the irrational people, but on this show, it always comes down to it feels like that these coaches are doing a great job and they just need better players and there's really no blame to go around with.
No, what I said, I'm
talking about this guy.
I'm just saying, I don't think that we're saying that they clearly are geniuses. I'm not saying that they're clearly
not at
geniuses.
All. I'm not convinced of Dillingham.
I'm just saying
at all.
It's too early to tell. And the comparison I would make is, man, I would hear it all the time back in the day with Leonard Hamilton that they don't have good out-of-bounds plays and they don't play well at ends of possession. Well, guess what? When you get better players, those out-of-bounds plays work.
And you win 12 straight overtime games and you get the ball inbounds.
That's what happens.
But people were saying back then, it's like they
he doesn't
can't
know what
coach.
He's doing.
Yeah.
It's like, no,
people
man,
always do
you
that
have,
with play calling,
players.
Corey. That's what I'm getting mad about, is that people always default to play calling criticism.
That you could have called something
that
different.
You should have called.
Oh, yeah, you called
the touchdown play.
That's a fair criticism, though, to go from where they were at the beginning of the season, where they had Jordan Travis throw it a lot against Notre Dame, to kind of figure out who they were in the middle
with
the identity.
I agree with
and
that.
And then these
and
last two games, not running, not really even trying to run. And it's like, okay, I'm telling you, the Florida game, we don't know that Corbin was – maybe it's because Corbin wasn't himself, and they knew Toa Fili and Ward wasn't a great combo. But I would have ridden that a little more – than what you did in that third quarter. I mean, you just sacks killed your drives, and you know you couldn't pass protect, and you put a lot of empty in there, and your quarterback sometimes holds on to it too long in empty. But that's stuff you got to, as a coach, that's that at some point it does fall on a coach.
But you can also note, if we can't block them, and they couldn't, those ends for Florida dominated in the run game and in the pass game.
It was kind of ridiculous we're not even doing moves.
Yeah.
They pushed Robert Scott like he wasn't there.
And also your center got blown up the last 3 weeks of the season on run plays, just taken into the backfield.
Yeah, so
you're damned if you do.
No, but I guess that's you don't know that Dillingham is a great OC. But
I'm saying the default isn't to say he's a bad OC.
Yeah. We have to know but it's going to come. I mean, at some point we got to start judging on what we see on the field
Get players.
Yeah.
That's part of their job.
Yeah, that's a big part of their job.
We're not answering enough questions.
Come on, Jeff, let's go.
We're going to break. He's been yelling at me to take a break for a minute and a half. Oh.
Settle down in there, Matthew.
Golly, Matthew.
Settle the
slave driver, that guy.
Goodness gracious. All right. Seminole Headlines returns in a moment.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
It's not that warm, though.
Okay, we're on the air, guys. Ryan writes, when Mike Norvell became head coach at FSU, he specifically said special teams was going to be a focus as it was at Memphis.
Yes.
What happened? Mm. Are they not practicing special teams? It sounds like the whole special team squad has taken some Dos Artes for that ass.
They don't get Dos Artes.
Yeah.
They're good at punt coverage inside the 5 and 10. Yeah, he does a real good job. So let's not lose sight of the things they are good at.
And onside kicks.
Short punts.
Onside kicks.
Look, man.
That was something.
That was.
It seemed fitting.
I thought it was perfect. I mean.
Yeah, I didn't see your tweet till like yesterday, but it was a good tweet.
You can't miss the ball completely. I mean, I guess he didn't completely, right? It nicked
allegedly.
It.
I've never seen anything like it.
I mean, credit to the Gators for getting that, to covering that up.
I've never seen anything like that. That's
And I don't know who 74 is. He's a walk-on. He didn't have a jersey on. The guy that they were pretending was going to kick. But at that point, you got to let him pick it up and go run it in for a touchdown. That's the only way you have a chance. But he's like, I guess I got to cover this because this Florida guy's coming after it. He should have picked it up and thrown it at him.
He could have broke out the lateral play.
Yeah. He should have tried to let the guy dive on it and knock it out of his hands.
Michael writes, gents, thank you for another great season. It sure is nice to be watching the coaching carousel and not having to participate in it.
Yeah.
Any truth to the John Papuchis to Notre Dame rumor I just started?
Oh, John, you got to come back next year, man, and do. You
I like
pick
John,
him up.
Too. I do, too. I like talking him. To him. And yeah. He's, and I doubt very seriously that he doesn't know what he's doing. He seems to me that he does, and he's had a proven track record. But for whatever reason, and we think, again, this is going to make you mad, Corey, I think if you get better players, you're probably better at punt returning.
One little thing I would suggest, and not that Mike Norvell needs to hear my suggestions or anybody
in the
staff. Listen up, Mike.
But, you know, like the mental conditioning guy, when Trevor Moad, who recently passed away, when Jimbo brought him in as a mental conditioning expert, and at first I was like – it's a sports psychologist.
Right.
And Trevor's like, no, I'm not a sports psychologist. What I am is a mental conditioning. What we believe in is the power of positive thoughts. Mm. And it's all about conditioning your mind to know what works, when you've been successful. And so he would give like EJ or Clint Trickett or whoever, like cut ups of all their best plays. And it's all positive, positive, positive. I was a little concerned this year when my man, Ja'Kai Douglas, when he talked about running down that sideline against Miami, and he was thinking to himself, don't drop it, don't drop it, don't drop it.
Yeah, we get
that's exactly the opposite of what you want. You want to be thinking catch, catch, catch.
Touchdown. This is a touchdown. I can't believe they cover me one-on-one. This is six.
Because bad golfers like me, if I think don't hit it in the water, I'm hitting it right into the water. You think the positive thought, and then the fact that all those guys got so kind of domed up in the punt return game, that's one thing I think they need to look at. I'm not saying you need to hire a mental conditioning expert.
Why don't maybe you just go in and speak to him?
Maybe they do things along those ways, but I think that's something he needs to watch out for.
I think they probably do. I think most modern programs do have an element of that in what they
do.
Well,
fire the punt return middle coach guy.
Yeah, and it ain't working. Yeah. To your point, like Nick Faldo and others have said over the years that when a pro steps to the tee, yes, they see the water on the left side. At no point do they say don't hit it in the water. They say land it wherever you're trying to land it. And that goes all the way back. Jimmy Johnson talked about this when he was the Hurricanes, later on the Cowboys. He said he never told a running back in his life, don't fumble.
Right.
Hold on to the ball.
He never said don't fumble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, things like that. So I don't know what is said.
I don't know what they're doing there.
Perpetually drop punts.
Those are two data points that make me think that they maybe could get better at the positive.
Then again, at some point, you might just be like, well, for Christ's sake.
Well, I don't want to pile on Papuchis, but I thought it's just bad coaching when you tell Grothaus, whatever you do, don't miss the ball when you try to kick this onside kick. It has to go forward.
Don't
you
miss
have
it.
To propel it forward at least 10 yards. That's the whole goal.
Steve writes, gentlemen, and all the great sponsors. Speaking of which, Horizons Bar and Grill, a sponsor.
Ho, ho,
stop,
ho,
don't Horizons. Do it. You're ruining it. You're ruining it.
Bar and Grill.
They're going to decide.
What?
Only Ira and I are going to be able to promote.
This theme has taken over
it's
the city.
It's not. It's
all
terrible.
All right. Sorry, Jeff. Jeez.
Anyhow.
It's as good as gay sausage.
I need to go to Horizons Bar and Grill right now.
Yeah,
this has been a spirited show. This has been a spirited, exhausting argument with this guy.
Let's go unwind
every play
a bit.
That fails, or every player that doesn't work out or should work out.
And they've got good happy hour specials, so you definitely need to check them out.
Great food. Great food. Good beer. Good
I'm not
people.
Even kidding. Great food. I love their food.
Absolutely.
I've diversified the menu lately. I get you more than the
fish
the shrimp. I always get the shrimp tacos, but I've moved on.
All right.
I get that 38 chicken.
Oh, the 38 chicken is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is really good. It's back. It's in the Chicken Wars game, and it's going to win.
It should win the Chicken
Wars. And obviously tell them that Seminole Headlines sent you.
At which point it's free.
It's free, and they actually pay you $10.
Yeah. You make money by eating this.
It's 110%
off. Let's all race there now and make some money.
Yes.
It's like giving blood back in the college days or plasma.
Which I did
that. Oh, me too. How surprised were you with Michigan's effort this post? Sorry. That's funny. He ends it with, especially since they didn't have Jabril Peppers. That's well done. That's well done.
Yeah, that was a great win for them.
Final one. Hey, guys. Can War Chant spring for some personal security for Corey Clark? He spends half of the postgame wrap-up worried about what's going on behind him. That's nice.
It's there's always – that was crazy. There's just
there's dudes like pushing carts.
Yeah. I'm going to summarize.
Yeah, they have carts.
Yeah. They've got carts.
They just don't use them for their players.
Logan writes what pretty much everybody at some point wrote, including more imaginative ways, but this is directed to the point and a good way to call it a day because he's about to play music. For the love of God, can Travis Hunter return punts? Do we know can Travis Hunter return?
If he can't, he's going back there and he's returning them.
That's right. You're going to return some punts.
Yeah,
there.
I know you're going to play 40 plays on offense.
There
are
seven losses to choose from, but what we've done here is summarize the season as a failed punt return.
If he can't, Dylan Gibbons is your man.
Dylan Gibbons will go get a ball.
Don't doubt Dylan Gibbons.
No, I know
don't
he can return punts.
It. I know you want to.
I don't think he's a good lineman, but I think he's great. He gives you depth in the punt return.
Dylan Gibbons.
He definitely gives you depth
Dylan
in the punt return.
Dylan Gibbons out here making plays for Corey Clark and Alex Chaffel. Thank you, Matthew. Thank all of you. We'll talk to you next time on Seminole Headlines. Be well.